Good question. How much of a sense of humor does God have? The Bible is full of puns in the original language. I tell that story. Got into a fist fight. Can you believe it? The pastor got into a fist fight. Driving over and rear-ended a guy. You know how it is, you're in a hurry. You rear-end the guy. So I look at it, it wasn't too terrible bad. So I go up and the guy gets out of the car and he's a dwarf. He's a little guy. He's a dwarf. So just looking down and talking to him, and he goes over, looks at the damage, and he just turns to me and takes his finger and says, "I'm not happy." So I say, "Which one are you?" That's where we got in the fist fight. Does God have a sense of humor? My wife one time asked God, she was driving to work early in the morning, it was like 4:30 or so in the morning, and she was driving to work on a 2-lane road with a double line, and she was going up this hill, and she asked God, "What makes you laugh?" And as soon as she got to the top of the hill, there was this row of ducks walking like from behind. And this is the wobble, and she cracked up. You ever watch a duck walk? It's funny. Yeah. Does God have a sense of humor? He caused a donkey to talk. Absolutely. Nahum, you want to be cleansed of your leprosy, get into the dirty river. Right? Yeah, God has a sense of humor. God has the best sense of humor going. He invented humor. Like I said, the Bible is full of puns. God has an amazing sense of humor. Laughter does good like medicine, right? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. God wants us laughing. Why? This is going to lead into the intro. Father, bless these words and anoint them. Turn with me for a moment in the way of an introduction to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 18, the Word of God says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." Do you know why people don't laugh? No, really. Do you know why people don't laugh? Do you know why people take on a heavy spirit? Because they're not thankful. They're not thankful. You take, like, you know, trade your heavy spirit, right, for a spirit of joy. People don't laugh because they're not thankful. I think a lot of people don't have a sense of humor because they're not thankful. Show me a Christian who can laugh, and I'll show you a Christian who's spirit-filled. Why do I say that? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in the presence of God there is fullness of joy. In everything give thanks, because this is the will of God concerning you. Right? Now, why in everything give thanks? Like, there are certain circumstances that come our way that we are like, why give thanks for this, God? And that's a good question. Why give thanks for this, God? Turn to John 16 for a minute. John 16 is an amazing chapter in the Bible. It's one of the most pertinent chapters to the Christian life that there is, both in direct translation and in application of principles. It's one of the most pertinent chapters there is. Starting in verse 16, the Word of God says, "A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, "Do you inquire among yourselves," this is now in verse 19, "do you inquire among yourselves that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall turn into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked for nothing in my name, and you shall receive. Isn't that amazing? You have, up to this point, you have asked for nothing in my name, but you will still receive. That your joy may be full. God's going to give you things just to make you happy. Really. God's going to put something in your life just to bring joy to your life. Now, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why? Because although for a little while you will not see me, you will see me again. You see, this is the Christian experience. This is an illustration, a picture of how the Christian life works. And yes, he was talking directly to disciples about a specific event, but this event in application is happening in our life still. For example, God takes us, he calls us, and things are wonderful. And for a season I have a great deal of joy and I enjoy the presence of God and I enjoy the call of God and I enjoy the promises of God and things are happening in my life. And for a season I'm really enjoying this. But all of a sudden the well seems to dry up. All of a sudden circumstances come whereby things aren't so good anymore. Maybe something happens with a family member or a loved one. Or maybe something happens in the details of my life and things aren't so good anymore. And maybe it seems like God is going to disappoint me and things aren't so good anymore. Well, don't you realize that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold? Of course you can't see Him for a little while. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Why? Because when you're waiting upon God, you're not doing something passive. When you're waiting upon God, you are actively watching Him. You are pursuing Him, you are watching Him, and you are simply expecting Him to do something for you. Always live in an expectation that God will do something for you. Always. Why? Because He always will. Like, get up in the morning and say, God, I know that today you will do something for me. So bring it on. Whether it seems to be positive or negative that day, whether the details of your life seem like things are working out or whether they seem like things are not working out. Maybe it seems like the bottom is falling out and the world is caving in on you. Maybe it seems like everything that you had hoped and dreamed is going to completely fail you and completely disappoint you. Maybe it seems like the thing you've been praying for so long, the situation and the details are turning into something that you are saying, oh God, it's not going to happen. Well, you see, you're not going to see me for a little while. And for a little while you will lament and be sorrowful. But in that season, be thankful. Because you will see me again. You will see me again. I remember when I was shooting for medical school. Go figure, I knew I was called to be a pastor 17 years before I became a pastor. And in the meantime, God called me to pursue medical school. But I think in the call, it was very interesting what He said. He said, pursue. Literally, this is how He put it when He spoke to my heart. He said, pursue medical school. I find it interesting that He didn't say, go be a doctor. He said, pursue medical school. Why? Because if I hadn't pursued that, I wouldn't have been here. Right? One thing led to another. Who's to say how God's going to do things? God's ways are so much higher than my ways. I had no idea that my preparation for being a pastor meant a science education. I didn't know that was required. But you know what? Without that science education, I wouldn't be here right now, and neither would you. Without that science education, a number of you wouldn't have gotten saved. God said, go pursue medical school. Okay, I know I'm called to be a pastor, so I'm going to go pursue medical school. Go figure. You see, for a little while you will not see me, but then you will see me again. And I did that for years and years, and I entirely devoted myself to that. And I remember I had an interview at a very prestigious college, a university, a very prestigious medical school. They asked me for an interview. I thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm being asked to interview here. So I got this interview, and the guy there was just hostile. He was unbelievably hostile. I mean, he was rude, he was arrogant, and he was hostile. It was almost like, what are you doing here? I wanted to say to the guy, I was invited here. And I came home and I told my wife about it, and she was sort of brokenhearted about the way things went that day. And she started to pray, because she's a prayer warrior, and she started to pray, and God said to her, thank me. Thank me. Why? Because in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why? Because the ultimate goal was not to be a doctor. The ultimate goal was to bring me into the fullness of the calling that He had given me, and I simply didn't understand the path that I had to take to get there. See, God's ways are above my ways, so I thank Him. God will never fail you. You see, a lot of believers think that God will somehow fail them. God will never fail you. Okay, let's get that thing straight. God will never fail you. And even though the details of your life may not look like they're working together for good, they're going to work together for good in Romans 8:28. They are going to work together for good. Why? Because they all work together to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Who loves God? What do you mean? Maybe I don't love God so much. Like today, God, I don't really love you because I'm having one bad day and I'm in a mood and I'm sorry, God. I'm just being honest. You know what? Who is it that loves God? We love Him because He first loved us. Who is it that loves God? They that are loved by God. So what it really is saying is all things to work together for good to them that are loved by God. And are called by whom? By God. According to whose purpose? His purpose. Who did the calling? God did the calling. Who does the loving? God does the loving. You see, and all things will work together for good. So even though the circumstance may look difficult or impossible or ridiculously bizarre, even though it may look like my prayers are not going to be answered, even though it may look like my life is going to turn into a total mess, maybe my life is a total mess. All things will work together for good. So I can be thankful. I'll tell you one thing. It didn't feel great walking out of that interview. It felt pretty lousy. And I said to God, I don't get it. I said, you told me to pursue this and this is what I encounter. I just don't get it, God. Why did you do this? He didn't answer at the moment. It's funny how God's answers come in God's time. God says, you know what, I'll let you settle down and then I'll talk to you when you're willing to hear me. So you settle down and then God shows you something. You say, ooh, now I get it. Divine hindsight is great. But you don't have it when you're in the circumstance. You see, I never have to be afraid because God will not fail me. And though I may not understand, He will never fail me. Why be thankful? Because in Ecclesiastes 7:11, the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. Like, what has happened in your life that now seems so difficult? Well, I've got news for you. The end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. Like, all things are from God or they are not. Like, do you believe that all things are from God? Do you believe that God withholds no good gift from you? He will withhold no good thing, and He gives you every good and perfect gift. Do you believe this? Do you believe that your life is in the hand of God? Do you believe that He has formed a plan for your life that He established before the foundation of the world? And I've got news for you. You can't mess it up. You can't. You can't mess up the plan of God. You can't mess up the call of God. Why do I say it? Of course I can just mess it up. What if I choose with negative volition? Okay, what if you do, Moses? You go and kill a guy, and then you run away. And you run away for 40 years. Okay, so you may delay God working in your heart, but I got news for you, Moses. You're still going to take Israel out of Egypt. And that was the plan of God. Okay, so you delayed things for a little while. Maybe God had to do something extra to work in your heart, but His plan wasn't thwarted. He still called you. He still brought you back out of the wilderness. He brought you back into Egypt. He still brought Israel back out of Egypt. Oh, but what if Pharaoh is saying no? Well, what if Pharaoh is saying no? Is Pharaoh bigger than God? Pharaoh's always going to say no. Right? Pharaoh's always going to say no. Don't worry about Pharaoh. God is bigger than Pharaoh. God is bigger than your problems. God is bigger than your thoughts. God is bigger than your understanding. God is bigger than your circumstances. God is bigger than other people. Nobody is going to mess up the plan of God for your life, including you. Why? It was written, and it was established before the foundation of the world. Before you were even in the womb, God knew you. Right? The plan was in place. He's got a beautiful plan for your life, and there is nothing and there is no one who's going to mess that plan up, including you. Why? Because God's in charge. I don't have to worry or be upset, or when I don't get my way, I don't have to get angry and anxious. I don't have to flip out at the appearance of things. I simply I thank Him. God, all things are from You and they work for my sake. Thank You, God. I know that You're in control and I can rest in that. Why can I rest in it? Because beneath me are His everlasting arms in Deuteronomy 33:27. I've gotten you through. You're in the hands of God, and in John 10:29, nobody's plucked you out of His hands. Nobody can. Show me who's bigger than God. Right? Circumstances can't pluck you out of God's hands. People can't pluck you out of God's hands. Time cannot pluck you out of God's hands. Details of life. Nobody. Nothing. Illness. Nothing. Nothing can pluck you out of God's hands. So you don't have to worry about it. Just relax. Get a little happy. Why? Rejoice in the Lord always, and everything rejoice. Why? Because God has a plan for you. And that plan is wonderful and it's perfect. And God's plan is to give you above and beyond, in Ephesians 3:20, all that you can ask or think. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. What do I need to do? I just need to stay put and trust God. And if I stay put and trust God, then God's will for my life will come to pass. Simple as that. Why? Because He's going to make it happen. He's the one who's done it anyway. Faithful is He that called you, and you will do it. Right? Is that what it says? I don't think so. What if I don't know the call of God for my life? Well, you don't have to. He's the one who does the calling. You don't. And He'll still do it. What if somebody did something and now it all looks blown? Well, I guess I got news for you. God will still do it. Pharaoh said no. So? There's a Red Sea in front of me. So? There's snakes in the desert. So? There's giants in the land. So? Doesn't make any difference. Faithful is He He can be trusted, He can be relied on, you're in His hand and He is faithful. Do you think that you are the first exception on the planet ever in the history of mankind for whom all things did not work together for good that loved God? Do you think you are the first one that is the exception where the end of a thing was not better than the beginning thereof? I've got news for you. You're not. Whatever it is that happens to be in your life, God's in charge of it. Whatever it is that happens to be in your life, God will come through for you. Whatever it is that's scaring you, God is greater than that thing. Whatever it is that you think, you know why people get angry? One, they fear, and two, they want. And they're afraid they won't get what they want. And so they get angry. Okay, so they don't know the love of God, and they don't know the faithfulness of God. Why? Because God gives you all the desires of your heart. That means He puts the desire in your heart, and then He grants you the desire. Right? Well, then He'll do what He said He'll do for you. God's faithful. God is faithful. God is absolutely faithful. Many times in the Bible, over and over and over, and many times beyond the Bible too, in history, over and over and over, people have said, "Where's God?" Well, He's right there. Right? He's right there. It's like that story Pastor Love told us last weekend. The first cosmonauts went out into space, 250 miles above the earth. They said, "We've been in deep space." How many of you have driven 250 miles in a day? How many have driven more? They call it deep space. Oh, I've been 250 miles to the west, deep America. 250 miles above the earth, they call it deep space. And they said, "We've been in deep space, we didn't see God." Somebody said to them, "You should have gotten out of the capsule, you would have seen Him right away." You know what? God will come through. God will come through. He will always come through. God will be faithful to you. He's got your life in His hand. There is nothing that can thwart the plan of God for your life. Not you, not somebody else, not any detail, not anything. You made a mistake. "Oh God, I made a mistake. Oh God, I killed a man and ran into the desert." Okay, I'll take you back out of the desert. Right? I'll deal with your mistake and I'll take you back out of the desert. Don't you realize you're God's problem? You're not your own problem, you're God's problem. Don't you realize you can just plain old relax? Why? Because God has your life already planned out and finished. Just relax. It's called a finished work for a reason. Believers are like, "Yeah, thank God it's a finished work. Oh my God, what's going to happen next?" Whatever God says. Whatever God's plan is. "But look at sight, it's coming against me." Okay. Go be a pastor in medical school. I got news for you. It doesn't make a hell of beans a difference what it looks like, or what people do, or what people say. God will have His way. Right? God will have His way. And I got more news for you, and it will be glorious. God will have His way, and it will be glorious. And there's nothing and there's no one who can change that. Because He established it before the world began. He knew you would get saved. He knew all the choices you would make. And the plan is perfect. And it cannot be changed. Satan can't change the plan. Tries. Can't do it. You can't change the plan either. Though you may try, you can't do it. Faithful is He. Faithful is He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of His coming. That means He's going to be faithful to you and He will do exactly what He said. And He will build you and He will take care of you and He's going to guide you and He will do exactly what He said. What the Bible says He will do for you, He will do for you. Every one of His promises are yea and amen. And He will do for you exactly what He said He will do for you. And what did He say He'll do for you? He'll take care of you. He'll take your life exactly where He wants to take it. But God, I made a mistake and now I'm wrong. Oh no! I guess that's the end. Oh God, I don't get it. I don't understand. That's terrible, isn't it? You know, you get to a place where you don't understand, just thank Him. Why? Because He understands. Right? He understands. You ever go on a bus or a train or a plane or something and you kind of stop paying attention or doze off for a little while? You've never done that, have you? All of a sudden you wake up and like, where am I? You don't need to know. The driver needs to know, right? As long as the driver knows where he is, you're okay. As long as God knows where your life is, you're okay. And you know what? God knows exactly where your life is. You'll be fine. Okay? You'll be fine. God is faithful. You'll be fine. Relax. Don't need to get anxious. Don't need to get nervous. Don't need to get afraid. Don't need to get upset. Don't need to get angry. Don't need to get anything. Just relax. Enjoy God's ride. People like roller coasters. I don't like roller coasters. But people like roller coasters, but they don't like God's ride. God's ride is a good ride. And in the end, I will guarantee you, you'll say God was faithful. I will guarantee you. In the end, you will say God was faithful. Why? Because He is the author and the finisher. Right? Of my faith, but also of the plan. Anyway, that's just the thought before we get started.